The scripture text for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
The topic that I will be sharing with you is that what kind of life are you living? In this modern world, we often come across so much temptation as the world becoming more and more advanced in sciences and medicine and everything. People are looking for more comfort. And as a result, there will be more temptations. Now, how are we going to meet this kind of temptations or situations? The Lord Jesus Christ, in this particular passage that Reverend Koo had read, tells us about how he had overcome the temptations of the devil. There are altogether three temptations over there. Of course, we in our life will come across more than that. On and off, you come across many, many temptations. But the devil had tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in three over here. Now, these three are actually can be summarized in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says there, For all that in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There are three that are very associated with the passage that we just read by the chairman, Reverend Koo, just now. So the first one that we are going to see is that man must not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now when Satan trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, he seeks a situation which is very suitable for tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord was up on the Mount of Temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible tells us that he became hungry. He became hungry. So it is a time that the Lord was tempted by the devil. And I think the devil knew very well that was the best time to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we are tempted by Satan in that way. When we are in great need, then Satan will quickly come to you and tempt you. Now, this particular passage tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ replied to Satan concerning that man must not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What is man living by bread alone? I think this is a lot of non-believers. They keep doing on and on their work. They are trying their level best. They are trying very hard in order to make money. They are trying very hard to achieve a very important position. They are trying very hard to achieve power and so forth. So it is a one that concentrating about getting this aim, that he did not care about God. I remember there was an elder of the old Presbyterian Church when I was a secretary for the synod. Now this particular elder was very God-loving. He not only lived by bread alone, but he also lived by the every word of God. So you cannot say that he only lives by bread alone. But every time when there's an AGM of all the synod representatives and so forth, I was invited there. He took very good care of each and every one. He would arrange the lunch and dinner, everything ready, and including boarding and so forth, all very finely done. And so you can see that man is a man of God. He loved the Lord so much. So unfortunate was that he owns a very successful business. He had a very big transport company having a fleet of about 40-50 trucks. Now he also owned an aerated factory. But one thing is that he liked to manipulate in shares. So every time he used to buy a share and so forth. Now today he would look at the newspaper and see what's whether the share has gone up or down. If it goes up, then he quickly will sell his share. Tomorrow he will again look at the newspaper. But nevertheless, he continues to go to church and so forth. But the share made him that he had left the church gradually, by and by. At first, he missed going to church as an elder, only once in every 2 months and so forth, then once in every 3 months. Then finally, in 2 or 3 years, he had never seen this elder of the church going to church. He was so concerned with his business and all the shares that he had bought. What happened was that one day, a few years ago, when the shares tumbled, he went bankrupt. He even had to sell his house and rent another house to stay. He was a man that was living with bread and also the word of God. But it's so unfortunate that it was a temptation of Satan that caused him to concentrate so much on the world and so forth. So eventually he lost everything. Now, we sometimes are in this kind of situation. We live in a society quite advanced today. Now we care so much for our children's education. I believe that Singaporeans are very competitive. We in Malaysia are not so. But Singaporeans used to choose the best school for their children. When my daughter had his son going to school, she had to go to volunteer for 3 months in order to get and be selected. Not only selected, but also to draw lot. Entitle her to draw lot. And that does not mean that she would definitely get a place for the son to be in. See? You see, situation in this world is like that. People are trying to become more and more worldly. Education, you know, get the best education. Now, your job, you care about so much about your job. You wanted to do better and better and to get promoted. And sometimes, in many other things, in many other areas, you hope to do that. But as a result, what happens is that you go far and far away from God. Go far and far away from God. You used to be living by bread and as well as the Word of God. But eventually it turned out to be what? Living by bread alone. I think what is a very sad affair that man trying to live God in that way. Now we cannot be men living only by bread alone, but we must live by every word of God at the same time. Perhaps someone will tell me, if that is so, then we don't have to work hard. Why should we work hard and earn a living and so forth? But that again is wrong. Because the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians tell the people there, said, while I was there, I told you that if any of you would not work, he or she should not eat. Can Christians work hard? Yes, definitely we must work hard. But to work hard does not mean that we can forget about God. If we work hard and if there's no God, then you are living by bread alone. Now what kind of life are you living today? Are you living by bread alone? I'm afraid there are many people who are like that. You keep going on and on, and you're concerned about your living, concerned about your comfort, concerned about what kind of house you are going to stay in, and what kind of car you're going to use. It's so unfortunate that the cost of petrol has gone up so much. Now it caused the American to change into a small car. But a few times when I was in America, many people would like to have the bigger the better. The bigger the more comfortable. Now they think of their comfort and so forth. But to have that and forgetting about God is someone who lives only by bread alone. Dearly beloved, are you living by bread alone? You must be very careful. Not every day you're concerned about your living, concerned about this, concerned about that. And as a result, you forget about God. So it tells you, this according to John, it says that this is the lust of the flesh. You care only for yourself, for your body, for your comfort, for your pleasure, and you forget about what? Forget about God. The second temptation that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan was that Jesus was brought to a high mountain to look at the whole world and said, all this world has been entrusted to me. If you kneel down, then I would give you all these things. Again, I think in our lives we are so often come across this kind of situation. People will try to tempt you. All right, you come and do this, and even if it's lawful, then you do it, doesn't matter. As long as you do it, you are able to make big money and so forth. This is like what? The temptation of the world. The whole world is being given to you. It doesn't matter if you just kneel down and worship, then you get the whole world. You think many people of the world would do like that? Certainly, I tell you. Not a few only would do it. But many would always succumb to this kind of temptation. So the devil says that you must what? You must worship me so that you are able to what? You are able, I will be able to give you all this. I mean, this is the kind of temptation we often come across. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, if he will be to like you and me, then he would kneel down and worship the devil. But I think we should not do that. Another thing is that we think, perhaps we think, is it possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to change the stone into bread? Certainly it is possible. Why did Jesus Christ did not do like that? Because of, pride. If you do that, then you are proud. You are proud. The Lord Jesus Christ definitely will be able to do that. He is the Son of God and God himself. He will be able to change stones into bread. So it is a kind of life that we should lead. We should lead a humble life, a life of humility. Do not be proud at all times. In Proverbs it said like that, better it is to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The wise word of King Solomon says, better it is to be of the humble spirit with the lowly. Your company may be not very important people, but if you are humble, it's good. Rather to be with a very important man and so forth, if you are proud. Then in chapter 16, verse 18, it says like that, too, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Finally, in Proverbs 29, verse 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. If you're humble, you'll be what? You will upheld. Jesus once spoke of a parable about humility, which I think we can learn a life of humility. In Luke chapter 14, verse 8 to 11, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a parable concerning a man being invited to a wedding feast. Well, it says that when he goes to the wedding feast and the man started to sit in the chief seat, you know, the Jews, they have a special seat allotted, and the chief seat is for a very important person. Now, once the man is invited, he goes to sit on the chief seat. Suddenly, when there are other important people coming in, then the host will tell this man, say, can you please move to the other side so that he or she can sit down here? I think that will be very embarrassed. If I were to sit on there, I felt very embarrassed sitting there. But Jesus said, if you were to sit at the not important seat, when suddenly when the host comes, you know, no, you should not sit here, you must come and sit here, this is very important. I think what glorified you'll be. So it is the humility that is very important in our life. You should not be proud. Proverbs said, pride shall bring him low, honor shall upheld the humble in spirit. We often heard about Calvin. Someone asked about Calvin, what is very important in theology. And Calvin said there are three. What are the three? Humility, humility, humility. One should be humble. I have a very good friend, but he's no more my good friend. Because why? He's too proud. Every time we were in the same class when we were young, very small. And then when he grew up, he married a wife and he got several children. The children went to America and come back. Each time when he saw me, he said, "Do you know that my son, he now works in Singapore. He has got about 15,000-20,000 salary a month." He told me like that every now and then. And all the friends that are with him always now all left him. What is the reason? Because of his pride. He's trying to be proud and tell you that, you see, look at my son. My son is making more profit than your son, and so forth. I tell you, pride goes before destruction. Nobody would go with him anymore. Now, beloved, I think Jesus Christ also did the same thing. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, then you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, then he humbled himself to become what? To become man. The Almighty God becoming what? Becoming man. So lowly. And not only lowly, but being able to go to the cross. That kind of a humility, I think, in the world, you seldom will be able to come across. The king will not become a servant. But because of humility, he or she is able to do that. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to be humble. And in this particular parable and this particular temptation, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to what? To be humble. Otherwise, he would have quickly succumbed to the temptation of Satan. Change the stone into bread. I think instantly it will be done. The Lord Jesus Christ had changed water into wine. How could he not change the stone into bread? It is so simple as that. The third one that we are going to think of is concerning worship. Because Satan had told the Lord Jesus, I said, if you worship me, then all these things will be you. The whole world will belong to you. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ answer? Thou shalt worship the Lord God only. Thou shalt worship the Lord God only. I think worship life is a very important virtue that each and every one should have. Now you call yourself Christians, but you never attend church. How can you call yourself Christians? Somebody will tell me that, Pastor, I do not go to church, but nevertheless, you know, I stay at home. And then I open the Bible, and then I sing hymn and so forth. I'm singing hymn to myself. Well, that's good. But in actual fact, we must have a corporate worship, which is very important. Now, Jesus was telling the devil that thou shalt worship the Lord God yourself. In other words, the importance of worship is stressed here. We may have the whole world. We may have the whole world. And then we do not worship God. What happened? One day your currency notes, you may still in a whole full room full of currency notes. But if you die away, you equal to nothing. The Bible here, especially in Mark chapter 8, 36 to 37, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Beloved, you may look for the whole world, the whole wide world given to you. But if there's no God, you don't worship God, you will lose your soul. You lose your soul. The same also is quoted in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is it worth to have the whole soul but to go to hell? Let me ask you, is it worth? I would prefer to go to heaven and not having 1 cent than to what? To be rich and go to hell. So worship is a very, very important virtue in each and every Christian. Now in Hebrews, it tells us not forgetting the assembly, not forgetting the assembly. In other words, the author of Hebrews is trying to tell you and me and each and every believer that we must constantly what? Worship. Be not like the elder who is being influenced by the world. By and by, the worship becomes lesser and lesser, lesser and lesser, until one day, that a few years that he had never attended church, even a single time. So, as every believer must be able to observe the Lord's Day at all times. If we do not do that, what happens that we become what? Living by bread alone. Now today, as we see concerning the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was able to have victory over Satan because of what? We see very well that Jesus had quoted from the Bible to go against what? Satan. One must be able to know the Word of God so as to what? In time to come, it becomes our defense. Becomes our defense. But mind you, Satan also knows the Bible well. Satan said, for it is quoted that if you jump down from the pinnacle of the temple, see, the Lord, God will send one, his messenger, to hold your feet so that you won't dash your feet upon the stone. You know, Satan is very cunning. He knows the Word of God. So today, it doesn't mean that perhaps you come across a person, a believer, or perhaps a deacon or an elder. Well, it looks like he's an elder and he knows the Bible and everything so well. But Satan knows it too. Now you've got to differentiate whether he's truly or not for the Lord. Now many people will behave in that way. But nevertheless, what is the best defense? What is the best defense when you come to situation, when you come across temptation like that? The Word of God, the Word of God is very important. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you have the Word of God, when Satan trying to tempt you and said, all right, you jump down, you need not succumb to that. When Satan is trying to expose the whole world to you, the riches of the world, no, you will not succumb to that too. Because why? Because you have the Word of God as your defense. Now, beloved, let us live a very important life, like what I said just now, a life of what? A life of not living by bread alone, but by every word of God, you see. A life of humility. Let us live a life of humility. Be humble at all times. And finally, let us live a life of what? Of worship. Our life does not concern only all the things of the world. And worship is what? Very, very important in our spiritual life. If we lack that, then we are not qualified to be called the children of God. May each and every one in our life, we have a life to live by bread as well as what? As well as the word of God. To live by bread means that we have our profession, our occupation, our everything, our studies, our everything, but with God, not without God. To live a life of humility, and finally let us live a life of worship. As Paul said, not forgetting the assembly, and not forgetting the assembly. Here the word assembly means what? Come together. We come together every Lord's Day to assemble together to worship the Lord. May each and everyone live a life which God wants you and me to be. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for Thy word, because in this world we are constantly exposed to temptations of Satan. But Thou hast shown us the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, telling us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We are living by bread, but we must also live by the word of God. Also, the Lord has taught us to be humble, because He was able to do miracles as the Son of God and God Himself. But He did not want to do that because He wanted us to be humble. Finally, let us not all forget the word of the Lord, that Thou would like us to worship Thee constantly and together. Today we thank Thee for Thy word, and may Thy word help each and every one of us, that we will living a life that Thou would like us to do. All this we thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.